own. Amen, Minister Jedediah Miller. Amen, Minister Jedediah Miller. Amen, will give us a word on this morning.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for your mercy. For Lord, there is none like you. We tell you thank you. Now, Father, we ask God that I decrease, that you may increase. For it was John who said that I must decrease, that he may increase. The Lord, it is all of you and none of me. And I tell you, thank you for the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, Facebook. Good morning, Triumph Life Ministry. I'm Minister Jeremy Miller. I'm glad to be here before you. Thank God for the opportunity to minister to you on this hour. And I want to give honor to Elder Harsh for inviting me on this platform. I do count it an honor to be here today. And I also want to give honor to my bishop, my pastor, and that is Bishop Jerdy E. Miller. Amen. And right now we want to go into the word. We want to give you guys some encouragement. And we're going to go to Philippians 3 and 13 through 14. And actually, what we're going to do is we're going to start at verse 12 because I kind of fell in love with verse 12 as well. And it says, it reads, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. You got one thing. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to marry the text at the point in Romans 8 and 28 where Paul says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this very present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. And I want to speak from the, the topic, don't stop here. I'm going to say that one more time. Don't stop here. If somebody can just put on the screen, don't stop here. Don't stop where you are. You must keep going. Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but there's one thing that I do. You got one thing to do. And that's to press forward. So we want to leave you some encouragement today. We just want to talk with you. We just want to speak with you a few words today. Sometimes we can be so frustrated with where we are at the moment that we want to quit. We want to give up. We want to throw in the towel. And on the other side of that is that sometimes we can become so satisfied with where we've come or where we feel we have arrived that we begin to feel that we have arrived, and we become what we call complacent. And I don't know where here is for you. The message says, don't stop here. I don't know where here is for you at the moment, but I want to encourage you today and let you know that wherever you are, that now is not the time to quit. Now is not the time to quit. Somebody right now is not the time to quit. Where you are is not where you'll always be. Where you start will not be where you'll end. But what I can guarantee you is that if you stop where you start, or if you stop where you are now, where you will be is where you are right now. But if you press on, you never know. The Bible says, I love it when it says this, that do not despise the day of small beginnings, because small beginnings can lead to big endings. Come on, tell God thank you. Small beginnings. Somebody write, type, small beginnings can lead to big endings. Sometimes, and because small beginnings can lead to big endings, we cannot stop where we start. And we cannot stop where we are now. I want you to think good, long and hard. I want you to think good about where you are now as it pertains to your life. Where you are now as it pertains to your career, as it pertains to your marriage, to your schooling, to your goals, and most importantly, where you are now with your walk with God. And I want you to tell yourself that I'm not going to stop where I am. Come on, say, I'm not going to stop where I am. And I just mentioned marriage, and I haven't been married, y'all. I'm single, but marriage is something that you continue to work on. Marriage is a recommitment. Some people think that love is something you come into and you come out of. Love is not a feeling. Love is a commitment. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why? Because he loved us. He did something that wasn't easy, something that wasn't convenient because of love. So every day, even in marriage, is a recommitment to love. I might not like the way you chew tomorrow, but I still love you. It's something I choose to do. Despite of, I choose. So sometimes in life, in spite of where we are now, we have to choose that commitment to press forward. Tell somebody, type on the screen, I'm going to press forward. I'm committed to pressing forward. I don't know what's next. I don't know what's coming tomorrow. I don't know what's behind me. I got to forget what's behind me. I don't know what's in front of me, but I do know that I'm going to press forward. And I want you to understand, I want to talk with you. I want to get too riled up. I want to talk with you. That I want to tell you that God understands where you are. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the moment almost killed him, to the point that God had to send an angel to strengthen him. The Bible says that he began to sweat blood, and it's called hematidrosis. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but it's when the blood starts to mix with the sweat glands, and you'll even start to cry blood. And I believe that he almost hemorrhaged to death. And sometimes the stress of the moment can be too much for you to bear. But how many know that God will send something to strengthen you? Just in the nick of time, God sent something to say, you can't die now. You got work to finish. So Jesus was, it was to the point that he said, Lord, let this cup pass from me if it be your will. That means that let this assignment pass from me. Anybody almost want to give up the assignment? Anybody almost want to give up the task that God sent you here for? But Jesus eventually said, nevertheless. That's what I like about it, the nevertheless. Trouble gonna come, but nevertheless. Sickness may come, but nevertheless. Problems may come, but nevertheless. And the word nevertheless means that his will, God's will, is not less than what you're going through at the moment. Nevertheless means assignment cannot be compared to the moment. So Jesus gave his nevertheless. And sometimes we get so caught up in the moments of life to the point that we forget the bigger picture. We take our focus off the grand scheme of things. Listen to what John said. He said, it does not yet appear. Come on, see, appearance ain't everything. He said, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But how many know it say, but we know. He put a clause in it. He say, but, however, we know when we see him coming. How many know you're going to be just like him? It don't appear right now. Your flesh don't appear right now. You got bad knees right now. You got a bad back right now. You have migraines right now. But it does not yet appear. It ain't supposed to appear what you shall be. Come on, but you're walking in a newness of life. So appearances are sometimes deceptive and can trigger doubt and disbelief. But John put a clause in that statement that we just discussed, say, but we know. Sometimes you got to go with what you know over what you see in the moment. Sometimes you got to know what you go with what you know in the word to be true over what you feel in the moment. And the devil uses your now. The devil likes to operate in now. See, he uses your now, your circumstances, where you are in the moment to get your focus off the grand picture. The devil's trick is to get you so caught up in the mundane and day-to-day activities of life to the point that you take your focus off your purpose and why you're here. Let's look at what he did to Jesus. After the fast, the Bible says that the devil came up to Jesus, and he knew that Jesus was hungry in the moment. He knew that he was thirsty in the moment. He says, okay, so why don't you take these stones and make them bread? And Jesus, knowing what he knows, see, you got to know what you know to be true in the word of God over what you know in the moment. Jesus say, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. And then he did something else to him. He took him up to a high mountain. He said, I can give you all of this. But his mission was to get Jesus to take his mind off of the grand scheme of what he needs to do and dwell into the moment. But Jesus said again, it is written. See, Jesus said, I'm not going to let you trick me out my position to promise me something that's already mine. The cattle upon a thousand hills is upon a thousand hills was already his. The earth and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein, was already his. But the devil tried to offer him something that was already his because he was in the moment. So, and let's take a look at Peter. Peter was walking on water. Peter had a mission to get to Jesus. But because Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and dwelled on what was around him in the moment, he began to sink. The devil wants you to focus on the moment so you abort the mission. But tell somebody, I'm not going to abort my mission. I'm not going to dwell into the moment. I'm not going to drown in my circumstances. So Paul says, for I reckon that the suffering of this very present time, I like this part. He said this very present time. Tell somebody that means it's now. The very present time, I'm not worthy to be compared to the glory where that shall be revealed in us. You cannot compare the moment with the mission. You can't compare the exams with the degree. You can't compare studying all night with walking across the stage. Because once you begin to compare the moment becomes bigger than the mission. The task becomes bigger than the goal. But Paul said this very present time, that means now. So where you are now is not worthy to and cannot never come measure. And I'm sorry, y'all. Where you are now is not worthy and can never measure up to what God is preparing you for what God is bringing you to. Tell somebody it can't compare. It can't compare. So Paul tells the Philippians in verse 13, we almost there. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended. And this is what blessed me. The King James Bible has, you know what a King James Bible underlines the word, it has an interpretation down at the bottom. I like this interpretation. The interpretation of apprehended says arrived. Paul says, let's read that again, I count not myself to have arrived. Tell somebody I haven't arrived yet. Tell somebody I ain't got there yet. Tell somebody I'm still on my way. Paul is saying I haven't arrived yet. Now this is interesting because we have to take this because this is interesting because Paul is the same person who said, I was called to be an apostle of whom I am chief, but I have not arrived yet. This is the Paul who said, I sat at the foot of Gamaliel. I studied at the foot of Gamaliel. He was a great man in that time. I concerned the Jews, I was of the strictest sect, but I have not arrived yet. I'm Paul, the one who persecuted the saints, and now I'm over here on this side, and I'm considered the chief of the apostles, but I have not arrived yet. Tell somebody I have not arrived yet. So what Paul was looking to obtain, Paul was searching for something greater it was something greater that he was reaching for, and it could not be attained on this earth. He said, there is therefore now laid up. Come on, somebody say, I ain't got up there yet. He said, there is therefore now laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So I was looking through some, I don't have my phone because I'm using it. I was looking for my phone. I was looking through some of my old things, and I found an iPhone that I had years ago. And it was my first iPhone. And when I looked at it, all I could think about was how far the iPhone had progressed from then to now. And the reason it has progressed and developed to where it is now is because they never stopped working on it. Tell somebody, don't stop working on it. They never stop working on it. Every time you look around, iPhone is just like yours. They're coming out with another version. I got the iPhone 12 now, but I started at the very first. Tell somebody, don't stop working on it. And as great as the iPhone is now, guess what? They're still committed to working on it. They feel like they have not arrived. Tell somebody, I have not arrived yet. So in our daily lives, in the things that we're working towards, in the things that we're working on, we have to be committed to working on it. Paul says, he said, the one thing that I do, I can't control nothing else, but what I can control is what I do. And that is, I press. Tell somebody, you got to press for it. He said, I reach and I press. When you reach and you press, it's like you're trying to get something that's just outside of your grasp. But tell somebody, keep reaching and keep pressing. Keep For I have learned. So now let's deal with the moment. Let's deal with how to deal with the moment. Let's deal with how to deal with the now. It says, for I have, Paul says in Philippians 4 and 11, that for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, wherewith to be content. The very first step in dealing with where you are is learning to be content with where you are. But the problem is that many of us have confused contentment with complacency. Contentment is not complacency. Being content is not being complacent. Being content is an acceptance of where you are. The prophet Jordan says that acceptance is the end of all suffering. Let's go into that. So I'm going to take an analogy. If I decide to take a trip to New York by plane, at some point I'm going to have to be content with standing in line at the airport. I'm going to have to be content with sitting on a plane for a few hours. And if I decide to go by car, at some point I'm going to have to be content with sitting at a red light. It's not that I'm complacent. I'm just content with whatsoever state I'm in, because though I'm at a holding point or a waiting point, I'm still on my journey. I might be sitting down at the airport, but I'm still on track to be where I plan on being. I'm still on track to get where God called me to be. Tell somebody, I may be at a holding point. I may be at a waiting point, but I'm still on track. So, some may feel stagnant. Some may feel that you're at a stopping point, but you're just at the red light of your journey. Some of you may feel like it's taking a long time, but you're just at the waiting point of your journey. If you're not content with being at the red light in your journey, guess what? Then you'll try to run it. You'll try to run it and crash out. And you'll abort the mission. Tell somebody, don't abort the mission. Don't abort the mission. Don't abort the mission. If you're not comfortable with waiting at the airport to the point that you walk off and leave, you'll leave the airport before you can get a chance to get on the plane. You was going to get there anyway. But because of your own mind being uncontent with where you was in the moment, you aborted the entire mission. And I don't like being on traffic on I-95 when I'm on my way home from work. I'm tired. It's 5 o'clock, and it'll take me from 5 to 6 o'clock to get home. That's an hour in traffic. But you know what? I learned that I have to be content. I learned to put my music on. I learned to sit there and be content. If somebody cut you off, learn how to be content. People have lost their lives because of discontentment. And guess what? It's all in here. It's when you decide to say, I'm going to be content. The Bible says, let patience have her perfect work. Patience have to do a work on you. He say, after you've suffered a while, then I establish you, I settle you, strengthen you, and make you perfect. Perfect means mature. We have to become mature in our everyday life. We have to become mature in our walk with God. And sometimes you can alter your path and not abort it completely and get back on. Just like Sarah did when the Lord told them, he said, I'm giving you a child. She laughed. I'm too old for that. What I look like now don't match what's coming out God's mouth. But how many know if he said it's come to pass? The earth didn't look like it looked when he spoke on it. The Bible say the earth was void and was dark and void and darkness. I'm messing it up. The Bible say that the earth was dark and darkness was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But when he spoke, things started to happen. So she said, go have my handmaid. Go have this. And now he bore, I believe, Ishmael. But God said, no, it's Isaac. I just came to tell you today, don't stop where you are. I don't care if you're frustrated with where you are. And don't stop where you are because you're content with where you are. Contentment is not complacency. Complacency is not moving when you have the ability and the wherewithal to move. But I pray that you've been blessed by the word and that you can use it in your life and that it influence you to study deep on what I said. And I give God all the honor and the glory. Pray my spirit in the Lord.
Amen, amen, amen. Get us right. Amen. Amen. I appreciate that word on this morning. It's very encouraging and uplifting to us, minister. We thank God for you and how God has blessed you and let us know that don't stop. Yeah, 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 yeah. Don't stop. Don't stop. I like that. Don't abort the mission. You know, we all have a mission. We all have a mission for the Lord, and we're all put on a mission for the Lord. And you know, if you abort the mission, amen, the deliverance that God has for us, amen, may not be there. We have to learn not to abort the mission. And, you know, I'm just thinking about also that don't be... So, you know, be content, but not complacent. Sometimes we do, many of us, sometimes we do, you know, look at that contentment as complacency. You know, it's like, you know, I'm just waiting. You know, I've heard it said over the years, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Amen. But, you know, I often says that, I often give the message that, let's see, like it's echoing back a little bit. But I often remind people sometimes that, you know, when they was in the wilderness and God allowed the manna to come down, God provided the manna. But they still had to go out and gather it daily. It was a task for them to do. It was something for them to do. Now, we wasn't going to get complacent on the word. But we need to go out and gather it every day. You know, the manna is falling, but we got to go and gather it every day, and that's physically and spiritually. Spiritually, so we got to go and gather it every day. We have to study on God's word every day. We have to build on God's word every day. And we have to just continue, amen, in his word and in his guidance in the way that we should go. And we should never give up, never give up. And I like that part where you said, you know, when Christ was, you know, on the pinnacle and the devil was tempting him and, you know, trying to offer something that already belonged to him. Amen. That's all right. That's all right. You know, so many good things in that message. And we just thank God for you, son. We thank God for the word that you brought us today and in how you encouraged us. We're just going to open up. I want to say the doors of the church, but we just want to offer. we just want to offer Christ unto you and give you an opportunity. If you at a place in your life where you feel like giving up, the word on today is don't give up. If you're at a place in your life where you want to throw in the towel, the word on today is don't throw in the towel. If you're at a place in your life where you want to abort the mission, the word on today is don't leave your mission. Amen. If you need that strength, if you need the power, if you need the comfort, if you need the help, you need the backing, I'm offering Christ unto you today. If you will have Christ to come into your life and he will help you and strengthen you and be with you. And he said, lo, I will be with you always, even until the end of the world. If God will be with you, through your trials and through your tests and through your issues and through your dilemmas, and he will deliver. All you have to do is give your life over to him and be in a relationship with him, and he will give you the strength not to abort the mission. If you'll just pray this prayer with me, Lord, forgive me. I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I believe he was born by Virgin Mary, and I believe that he rose on the third day with all power in his hand. I believe that on this morning. I confess it with my mouth, and I believe it in my heart. Lord, save me. Amen. And if you said that prayer, I believe that you're saved. The Bible says if you confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart, that you will be saved. Amen. And I just want to encourage you, amen, to grow in his grace and grow in his mercy that he has already provided for you. He did it over 2,000 years ago. And all you have to do is just accept it and walk in it, learn about him, amen, and you will be able to not, with the message on today, don't stop where you at. You know what I'm saying? Keep going. So we're just going to give it back over to our minister to give us our final word of prayer and give us our benediction. And we pray that God continue to bless each and every one of you, and we'll see you on next Sunday. Minister.
I don't know if you guys can hear me. I can't hear anything back. Okay. Again, I want to thank Elder Hodge for inviting me to speak this morning. Thank God for what he has done so far. Lord, we come before your throne of grace. We give you our praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
What I say unto one, I say unto all. Watch as well as pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys. God bless you, minister.
You have no idea what God has brought me out of. You can't even tell when you look at me. I've been in a season of miracle. This is...
I cannot explain it. me.